15, perhaps an AK-47, or even just an old lever action. The Gun Doctor also works on every kind of firearm, except maybe an Abrams tank. So you know your baby's in good hands. Curtis Gunsmithin. Call 231-838-5571.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of hour number one here on this Friday, February the 13th. Joining us on the line right now is Monica Yutuma. She's a candidate running for Secretary of State at the March 28th endorsement nominating convention. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. My voice is gone. So we're going to struggle to get through this.
Okay, I can tell. I'll try to do most of the talking for you, okay?
I appreciate it. Hey, Monica, you got a text message. Amanda Love, Anthony Ferlini got a text message from Tim Vetter, and he's looking for some information from this file system. I'm not really sure what it is. Can you describe to everybody what he's looking for and who's willing to give it, who's not willing to give it at this point, if you know?
Yeah. So what Tim is looking for is they want the digital ballot images. They want the source, the actual source, not just a copy. So what happened was, is Anthony Forlini had, so the tabulators have these scanned ballot image option that you can turn on, and it scans the ballot image and you have access to it. So what Tim was looking for was the source that that came from, not just a copy of the ballot image, because Anthony Forlini went around and he's been saying, yeah, I'm turning that feature on, and to increase transparency, I'm taking it a step further and we're going to post these ballot images online. And so what Tim caught was that he's not actually posting the source ballot image. He's posting copies of the ballot image, if that makes sense.
Now, on that point, if it's turned on and he's saying he's going to share it, why won't he share it?
Well,
that's what I'm having difficulty with understanding that process, the question they're asking and why he's saying he's doing it, but yet he's still not posting. So is he actually turning it on and using it, or isn't he?
Well, it's a good question. We don't know. See, when you're running a convention race and you go to these different events and you go to these different debates and these different forums, you could say anything that you want. And it's really only the delegates that ask the hard questions and do their due diligence to find out if you're telling the truth. But what I want your listeners to understand is that the digital ballot image from the tabulator, it's like a high resolution. Think of it as a high resolution picture of yourself. So you can see color, freckles, hairstyle, facial features, etc. And okay, so the digital ballot image will have chain of custody to the paper ballot with metadata. When this ballot image was created, who created it, and the file name, you know, etc., all those details. So there's a lot of intel that we can gather from processing the digital source ballot image. When you make copies of this source, like what Anthony Forlini is doing, you're making copies of the source, you get TIFF graphic image. It's supposed to be a TIFF graphic image, but when you make copies, you're getting a low resolution PDF. So what you're doing, ultimately, you're destroying the chain of custody. You're altering the metadata. And it's almost like you're looking at a blurred person, to go back to that person analogy, if that makes sense.
Got it. All right. Very good. Got that one answered. I got another question from John in Onaway. Will Monica reopen the Secretary of State's office again for walk-in service? Appointment
yes.
style is horrible. Explain that situation. Explain that whole process as is now and what changes you'd be willing to make.
Absolutely. That's such a good question. And I want people to know that while I respect the appointment process, what Jocelyn Benson did is she moved us to the California model of everything in the Secretary of State's office. And it doesn't work. And they claim, oh, zero wait time, you know, when you come into the Secretary of State's office. Well, it's zero wait time because you're not serving anybody. The appointments are coming in. And then if you don't have any appointments, you're just sitting there because they won't take you if you don't have an appointment, which I think is so ridiculous. So what I would like to do is I will keep the appointment process for whoever likes it. And that's fine. But I want to create a hybrid schedule where we bring back the option for you to walk in. And so I know everybody's schedule looks different. We'll dedicate one morning, one afternoon every week. And so we'll have a hybrid program or schedule, I should say, sorry. When you want to make an appointment, you can make that appointment. When you want to walk in, you can walk in. I'm going to bring back evening appointments. I'm going to bring back Saturday appointments. I'm going to completely overhaul the entire website of the Secretary of State's office. I want to make it easier to use. I want to make it more transparent. I want to make it easier to navigate. And I want to give it capabilities to upload digital documents so that if we can avoid you having to come into the office. Now, some appointments like driver's license appointments, you got to come in, right? But there are other types of appointments that can easily be done online. We could upload the documents online and then you're done. You don't even have to waste a trip to the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah. And one of the other things I think people are looking for is a lot of the offices themselves. They have these what appears to be like an ATM, like a kiosk.
Yeah.
Why couldn't those be in Myers? Why couldn't those be in Walmart? I don't understand. I mean, it's a machine and nobody's going to tamper with it. If you want to simply renew your tabs, why not offer those at different locations, not just at the Secretary of State's office?
Well, they are. There's certain places like you can go to Meijer or Kroger, just depends if they have it, where they almost have like a vending machine
right.
for tabs. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen that before, Andy?
No, I have not seen that anywhere up here in Northern Michigan.
Okay. But they don't, for whatever reason, she neglects Northern Michigan. I don't understand it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've noticed that traveling the state. She very greatly neglects Northern Michigan. But these vending machines exist. The problem is she's not doing a good job of maintaining them, and there's not very many of them. I would offer more of them. And she's doing such a poor job of maintaining the machines. I know somebody who came to me and said, I purchased my tabs through this vending machine, and my son went to go put them on my car. And thank God he caught it. The tabs were already expired.
Whoa.
Yes. So they are not taking care of these. Exactly. That's dangerous. Could you imagine if it was an older person bought their tabs out of this vending machine, threw them on, had no idea, didn't catch it, and then got pulled over? I mean, that'd be a very messy situation.
Sure. Now, one thing that a judge ruled on, and I'm sure it's going to be appealed, Jocelyn Benson is refusing to give our qualified voter files to the Justice Department in Washington. And one of the excuses they're using is it's got our personal information on there, including our Social Security numbers. Now, I asked Vicki about that, and she said Social Security numbers are not part of the voter registration process. It's not in the poll books. Why are we allowing this judge to buy this argument that Benson's putting out there that it has our Social Security numbers on them?
Okay, so let me give you a breakdown of this ruling because everybody's talking about it and they don't understand why the judge shot it down. So the DOJ sued Michigan under HAVA, but here's the problem. They did not allege that Michigan violated the law. They said they needed the data to see if a violation existed. So the context matters. Now, Judge Hala Jarbo said that's not how federal court works. You can't file a lawsuit, claim no violation, and then use discovery to go fishing for one. So the judge ruled that HAVA only requires states to disclose records about how voter lists are maintained, not the voter rolls themselves. And Congress wrote the law this way. The court just made it clear judges can't fix bad or vague statutes. If it's broken, Congress needs to fix it. Okay, but here's what the ruling did not address, and this part is very critical. Michigan already gives that same voter data to ERIC, which is a private organization with no enforcement power. Yet, they refused to give it to the U.S. Attorney General. That's a huge contradiction. And the problem is that the court never even touched that. So the obvious question is, if Michigan can share voter data with Eric, why is sharing it with the DOJ suddenly off limits? So that is what raises serious concerns about selective disclosure and unequal treatment under federal law. And then you can add, we've had prior complaints from MFEI and other organizations with documenting list maintenance failures. There's been ongoing issues with death records not being removed. And even a recent U.S. House hearing where lawmakers said the data should be provided, they said that themselves. So here's what we still need to know, Randy. Has Michigan ever complied with similar DOJ requests before? And if so, what changed and why? Because the bottom line is this. The judge did not say that Michigan's voter rolls are clean. She said that the law was written too narrowly. So if transparency is important and if transparency matters, then we need Congress to act immediately. And Michigan, including Jocelyn Benson, needs to explain this double standard.
Got it. You know, because that was not part of any of the news stories that came out on that ruling. And if you know, do you think that the Department of Justice is going to appeal that decision?
My hunch says yes. I think they will. They should. I would if I was them.
Sure. Absolutely.
Within the means of the law, of course. So we can't go on a fishing expedition. You have to have a legitimate reason to file this lawsuit.
Well, and I think that Eric argument, she's willing to share the information with Eric. Why will she not share it with the Department of Justice?
Exactly. And that falls on her. And so maybe they can go after her for that. They can say, well, wait a minute. This is very selective. Why are you giving it to Eric, just like you just said, Randy, but you won't give it to the DOJ?
Right. Exactly. I got another text message asking you a question. Do you think that when you update the website, can you make it so that it doesn't time out? I don't know what they're talking about, but evidently they're in a process of applying for something or doing something. You get most of the information in there real quick, Monica. It times out. Will you change that?
Yes, absolutely. That's a super easy glitch to fix, and we will get on that and change that so you can take your time filling out your information and submitting your paperwork.
Okay, very good. And your website for your campaign?
It's www.monicaformichigan.com.
And anything, real quick, final comments about where you're going to be this week?
Next week, I'm going to be everywhere. I'm going to be in Macomb. I'm going to be in Berry County. I'm going to be in Wayne County. So,
Excellent.
All over the place. And check me out on social media, Monica Yatuma Official and Monica Yatuma for Secretary of State. I hope you feel better, Randy. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Monica. We'll talk to you next Friday.
All right. Take care.
Final segment of hour number one. We'll be right back.
A book by Rick Randall, Road Trip, the Good Words book for success. Good words that both young and old alike need to add to their vocabulary to impact their thoughts, emotions, behavior, and ultimately their reality in life. Road Trip's Good Words, Positive Thinking, and Daily Pep Talk will improve your attitude, impress everyone you come in contact with, and lead to a better, happier, more fulfilling life. Get your copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. Pass the positive. Road Trip, the Good Words book by Rick Randall.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy or call 800-654-9659.
Maybe you're looking to sell an old firearm that's been sitting around the house just collecting dust. Or maybe you've been thinking it's time to upgrade to a newer model or caliber. Either way, the place to go is Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, they buy and sell pretty much anything that goes boom when you pull the trigger. Except rocket launchers, they don't buy or sell those. So if you're looking for a new firearm or just want to sell old Betsy, you're sure to get a fair price and friendly service to boot at Curtis Gunsmith in Petoskey.
If you have pain in your neck, back, shoulders, elbows, wrists, hands, hips, knees, or feet, Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic deep tissue laser treatment for you. This technology relieves pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience fast robotic deep tissue laser pain relief at a special price. Call us Monday through Wednesday to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment of hour number one. I'm suffering from a severe cold, so we'll get through this hopefully for the next 2 hours in 9 minutes. The story that I started in the first segment of today's show: Governor Gretchen Whitmer wants to tap out $400 million out of our $2 million rainy day fund. Well, Matt Hall, the speaker, and the other Republicans have answered resoundingly in a negative position. Shortly before Whitmer's budget recommendation was unveiled on Wednesday, Hall told reporters that tapping the Michigan Rainy Day Fund to close the projected revenue shortfall is irresponsible because that shortfall is a result of tax relief, not economic crisis. The fund should be reserved for a more genuine downturn instead of being used to backfill revenues lost from cutting taxes on tips, overtime pay, and Social Security, which was done, of course, by President Trump and the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Lawmakers must live within their means by cutting whatever waste, fraud, and abuse, getting rid of ghost employees, budgeted state positions that were never actually filled, while maintaining their opposition to any new taxes, Hall said. Republicans believe giving tax relief to the people when we need to know right now what to do instead of raiding our rainy day fund. This is absolutely ridiculous. No responsible budget proposal should raid our rainy day fund right now. We have purposely put ourselves in this position. The proposal to pull from the rainy day fund is one of Whitmer's ideas to cover an expected revenue shortfall for this fiscal year, upcoming 2027. She also is making cuts and increasing taxes on vaping materials, tobacco products, digital advertising, and casino gaming. Once again, the shortfall came as a result of the state's road funding plan, which they passed last year, but also in tandem with President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which cuts federal spending to states' administration for Medicaid and food assistance. Well, during her presentation, Governor Gretchen Whitmer put forward her new budget recommendation. Budget Director Jen Flood made it clear that the governor is not going to throw people off their health care. We have to figure out a responsible funding plan, and we have to keep that program afloat amid otherwise a generally flat budget. Well, I got a question for you, Jen. If it's basically a flat budget going from $81 billion to $88 billion, that's $7 billion. You're telling me that the cuts that the One Big Beautiful Bill made to the funding of Medicaid was $7 billion? That's not true. You're still growing the budget. You're still expanding it. This is absolutely insanity. Well, John Truscott, who worked as Governor Engler's press secretary for most of his administration, echoed the speaker's sentiment that now is not the moment to make a withdrawal from the rainy day fund. You build the rainy day fund up and you keep it for a rainy day. Well, it's not raining right now. Just because your budget is short does not make it that you should withdraw from that fund. There will become a time when we truly have a downturn in our state's economy, and that's what the money is for. Well, Truscott said former Democrat Governor Jim Blanchard's withdrawals in the late 80s and early 90s before Engler took over were absolutely warranted. We had a major, major recession happening, and we wanted to make sure that it stopped here in Michigan. The economy was so bad, that was the type of circumstance where you withdraw from the rainy day fund. It was not a frivolous thing. It wasn't that he wanted to remove the funds before Engler took office. It was absolutely necessary at the time. Thank God we had that money set aside because we started it back in the 70s. Those were warranted withdrawals. Truscott continued. The drained savings account back then ultimately forced really difficult budget decisions and a lot of budget cuts that ended up happening in the Engler administration. Under Governor Engler, the state built the rainy day fund back up, increasing it even before leaving office. Back then, it was a record high of having more than $1.2 billion in that fund. As he ended his second term, even through a sharp recession that hit, the account was drawn all the way down to zero in fiscal year 2003. The recession was heavy, hard, and absolutely warranted this withdrawal. Governor Gretchen Whitmer's request to do it is not warranted. So, pretty interesting discussion about the rainy day fund, and Republicans are saying they're not going to do it. History lesson with Pastor Chatfield, hour number two. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From Noble New Tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.